weeks in a row from the book of Genesis. So now, for the next three or four Wednesdays, we will not meet the day before Thanksgiving, by the way. The next three or four Wednesdays, we're going to just do total practical stuff, all right? Not a bunch of deep theology, not a bunch of in-depth Bible study. We're just going to talk about practical Christian topics. In fact, I would say at least 60% or more of what I'm going to say tonight, you could actually say to a secular audience. You know, we talk about integrity. Because the world may not agree with a lot of things that Christians teach, but the world generally agrees that integrity is actually a good thing. All right, but of course, we're going to be studying the Bible on that topic, of course. Amen. All right, but my point is, this is going to be really practical stuff. I hope you'll get something out of it, but it's not going to be like deep theology. Okay, so we're going to talk about integrity. And I was having some discussions, and I found out that a lot of people don't actually know what the word means. That's kind of scary, you know, if they don't know what the word means, but, you know, okay. So I looked up several definitions. Oops. Should be working. It's not. I can always do it the old-fashioned way where I actually kind of go like this. Yeah, I guess I'm doing that. That's cool. Still works. A good friend of mine, he was a principal for many years. He was also an elder of our church. And he said, I on his PowerPoint. He said, here's my PowerPoint. He's a principal, right? Here's my PowerPoint. Yeah. Okay, integrity. The quality of being honest and having strong moral principles which you refuse to change, having high standards and refusing to lower them. Okay, that's one definition. Okay, integrity. Another definition is consistently making the proper choice between what is convenient and what is right. Integrity. Consistently making the proper choice between what is convenient and what is right. A person of integrity does that. It comes from the word integral. You'd think it would be integral. In fact, in calculus, we say integral, right? But then in English, they say integral. Why they say integral in a sentence and integral in calculus class, I don't know. But something which is integral or integrated, what it does is it brings various parts together to make a harmonious whole. Something is integral or integrated. And, you know, when you're integrating things, you're bringing things that are different together and making them work harmoniously. So a person with integrity has many aspects of their life, and they're all going in the same general direction. So to have integrity is to have strong connectedness despite significant differences. And it's what's required to make a whole thing complete. So when we're talking about integrity, we're talking about the whole person. All right? And really, the different parts of our personality, our character, our spirituality, all these are part of what makes us have integrity. It makes a whole person. You know, you can talk about a building having integrity. And what is it about a building that has integrity? What will not happen to a building that has integrity? It won't fall. And what if you have a building that almost all of it is awesome, but there's one thing that's not designed well? Probably, that's right. Here we go. Ethics, respect, honesty, all those things combined. Or another illustration is having a strong moral compass. Somebody with a strong moral compass. In other words, they're always pointing in that direction, and you can't pull them off of that direction. Integrity is choosing courage over comfort. All right, how do you do on that? Choosing what is right over what is easy. Practicing and living out your values, not just having them. Being honest and authentic. One illustration is actually from calculus, right? Right? You know what an integral is. It's the integral of f of x dx, right? And the limit, as delta x gets smaller and smaller and smaller, then you approximate the area under the curve, right? Yes. That's right. And when everything's working together and the life is smooth in that sense, all the parts of your self are working and going in the same direction. That's integrity. And the root meaning of integrity means it means these different parts working together in a harmonious way. Okay? Now, there's another illustration. We could look at Matthew 22. And again, you know, the World Trade Center, those were built really awesomely, but they had one major design flaw. And it had to do with the central column that ran the height of the building. And basically, there was a design flaw that says, if such and such happens, literally the entire building could go down. But what did people say? That'll never happen. That's what they said. They said, that will never happen. And guess what?
It happened.
And if you are not a person of an integrity, you'd say, well, I got this down and I got this down. I got this other area. I really suck in that area. But you know what? All these other areas are good. And guess what happens? All right. And so there you go. So if we're going to talk about integrity tonight, we're going to ask not what you're awesome at. Although if you're awesome at it, that's great. Amen. Praise the Lord. We're going to praise that. But you know what? If you have one weak link, then what do you not have?
Integrity.
Got it? So, by the way, fun question. Fun question, right? And I want you to answer this to yourself and not say anything out loud. Where in the Bible would you go to learn the most about integrity? Don't say anything. Come on, Bible students. Come on, Bible students. Okay, where would you go in the Bible to learn about integrity? All right, somebody?
Proverbs.
Daniel's not a bad answer, by the way. In fact, we're actually going to go to Daniel. All right, but Proverbs. And somebody could have said, well, what about Joseph that we studied last week? Mm-hmm. Talk about an example of integrity.
Oh, yeah.
But as far as passages on the subject of integrity, Proverbs would be the place to go. But we're going to start in Matthew 22, verse 16. Now, all right, easiest question in all history. What human being had the greatest integrity in all? Jesus, obviously Jesus. All right? Matthew 22, verse 16. Now, here, somebody's going to tell Jesus he has great integrity, but you have to hear the dripping irony coming from this hypocrite who said this. Matthew 22. All right, starting in verse 15, said, then the Pharisees went out and laid plans to trap him in his words. They sent their disciples to him along with the Herodians. Teacher, they said, we know you're a man of integrity. Mm-hmm. Now, what are they going to do about that? They're going to try to use his integrity against him. Mm-hmm. All right, and that's what the world wants to do. The world sees somebody with integrity and they want to cut them down. Just be aware. So he says, we know you're a man of integrity and that you teach the way of God in accordance with the truth. You aren't swayed by others because you pay no attention to what they are. All right? And that's almost the definition of integrity. And therefore, they said they tried to trap him. They tried to use his integrity to get him. Tell us then, what is your opinion? Is it right to pay the imperial tax to Caesar or not? And they thought they had him over in integrity barrel. Why? Because if he ducks the question, does a person of integrity duck the question?
No.
Now, when you see them interviewing politicians, do they always answer the question asked? They never answer the question, right? It's so funny watching interviews with politicians, right? You know what they're going to ask, and you know they're never going to answer the question. Am I saying most politicians don't have integrity?
Yes.
Well, it's kind of part of the game of politics, you know. Politics and integrity kind of, you know. So, honestly, you sort of can't blame them. Even an honest politician has to. Anyway, never mind. We're going to get off that subject. All right. So it says, if he supports Rome, then his integrity to the Jews is going to be really in question. But if he supports the Jewish position, he's going to get arrested and thrown in jail. So they know that if he goes for his integrity, if he maintains the integrity they claim he has, they're going to get him arrested and thrown in jail. And as you know, Jesus had a great answer. He said, I don't know, look at that coin. Whose picture is on that coin, okay? Jesus was a man of great integrity. Satan will always go after our integrity. He wants to undermine it. The world does not want you to be a person of integrity. So our integrity has to be closely guarded. What if you have a very solid, godly, spiritual life, but one single gross weakness? What's going to happen eventually? You're going to go down. That's what happened to the World Trade Center. Okay? That's what happened. It had a design flaw. And they said, oh, but that would never happen. Never. Famous last words. That would never happen. Oh, the number of dumb things I did when I was a teenager. I said that would never happen. I can give you some stories. I'm sure you can tell me. Like the time I'm driving at night really fast with my friends down this trail and all of a sudden realize, oh no, I just drove onto a lake.
What the heck?
Yes. That would never happen. No, we jumped into the lake and pushed the car out and drove home and didn't say anything to my parents. Proverbs 29 verse 10. Proverbs 29 verse 10. Oh, stupid things. Oh my goodness. You know, that frontal lobe. We can blame it on the frontal lobe, the undeveloped frontal lobe. All your dumb decisions. I don't know on judgment day if Jesus is going to let your frontal lobe be an excuse, but all right. Proverbs 29 verse 10. The bloodthirsty hate a person of integrity. Got that? The bloodthirsty hate a person of integrity and seek to kill the upright. Why do evil people hate people of integrity? Why do they hate them? And they do, trust me. Yeah.
Make them look worse?
All right, they make them look bad. Yeah. Why? Any other thoughts? Why do people, bloodthirsty people or people who have evil intent, why do they hate those with integrity? Right. They can't corrupt them. They can manipulate anybody, but a person with integrity cannot be manipulated. You can't do it. And their whole worldview operates on the assumption that everybody has a price. Everybody has a price. You're just negotiating over the price. But a person with integrity, they just don't know how to deal with that kind of person. All right, Proverbs 11, verse 3. Oh, wait, Proverbs 10, verse 9 first, sorry. See, it says it on the screen. I'm supposed to do Proverbs 10, 9 first. Okay. Proverbs 10, verse 9. Whoever walks with integrity walks securely. But whoever takes crooked paths will be found out. A man of integrity, a woman of integrity, they don't take shortcuts. They don't say, well, I can get away with that. You know? The professor, she'll let me go on that. You know? I can make up for it later. But see, that's the question is not whether you can get away with it. The question is whether you have integrity. And a man with integrity, a woman with integrity is very predictable. Very predictable. All right? Because, first of all, they'll always tell the truth. And they'll always do what's right. Very predictable. So he describes a person of integrity here as a person who walks securely, but the one who takes the crooked path will be found out. A person of integrity cannot be blackmailed. That's one of the best things about being a Christian, you know? People could say, if you don't do such and such, I'll let people know this about you. And you kind of go, well, I've already told five other people, so okay, f- feel free.
Yes, sir.
You know, if we're coming out into the light, if we're walking in the light. And that's part of integrity, right? Walking in the light. Proverbs 11, verse 3. And there are other proverbs about integrity. I'm not going to read them all. Okay. It says, the integrity of the upright guides them. Their basic ethical principles, honesty, truthfulness, diligence, all these things, that guides their every activity, right? But the unfaithful are destroyed by their duplicity. Because, you know, when you tell the first lie, then what has to happen? You tell up the follow-up lie. I remember the time I was smoking a cigarette, you know, and with my friends, and an adult came by, and I went like this. You probably never smoke, but you can cup a cigarette, you know, you can get pregnant. But what I didn't realize is the coal kind of dropped off into the pocket, you know. And so all of a sudden, like, oh, no! So I figured, we're going to tell this lie to my mother that my friend's dog chewed up my jacket. So I took a pair of scissors to cut off the bird stuff. You know, like my mother should have said, how stupid do you think I am? You know? But we had to you're right. So if you are not having integrity at some point, unlike this dog who did not bite me, at some point it's going to come back to bite you. The person of integrity presents the same picture of themselves to all people. How do you present yourself to your mother? How do you present yourself to your boyfriend? How do you present yourself to your minister? How do you present yourself to your buddies? Parents, how do you present yourself to your children? A person of integrity, everybody gets the same impression because they're not having duplicity. Okay? Now, I want to propose, by the way, you could have made this list. This is just a list. I just spent some time thinking about it.
The first verse you looked at in Proverbs?
They're still up on the screen there. Oh, Proverbs 29, sorry. Proverbs 29, verse 10. And there are other scriptures about integrity in Proverbs. Okay. All right, so I want to propose, and again, if you spent 10 minutes, if you ask yourself, what are areas of our life are involved in our integrity, you'd probably come up with a pretty similar list than the one I came up with. Okay, and like I said, even worldly people would probably have a fairly similar list, actually. Not identical, all right, but fairly similar. So areas that require integrity. Number one is our work ethic. Okay? Are you always on time?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm 5 minutes late. Why are you late? Because such and such. Right, so why didn't you plan to be 5 minutes early so that when that happened, you ended up being on time? Does this matter? Well, I mean, it's not going to determine whether you go to heaven or not. But the question is, do you have integrity? Now, it just so happens that about a third of us showed up late tonight, but I'm not making a point out of it. I'm just happy to notice that. And I'm so glad you're here, even if you came late. And like I said, was it Dezane earlier this week? It was Nathan, who's not here tonight. He went to a class 20 minutes late. I said, Nathan, I'm so glad you went to that class 20 minutes late, because the alternative was to not go.
All right?
Amen for that. And as a professor of many years, I say, if you're late to class, go anyway and face the embarrassment. And then apologize to the instructor after class, because that's what a person of integrity does. Can your professors and can your boss always count on you to be caught up on your work? Because if you're doing it last minute, guess what you don't have? Integrity. That doesn't mean you're a bad person. It doesn't mean you're going to hell. It doesn't mean you have to live a life of shame. But what I'm talking about is integrity. Do you work just as hard? I'm talking about at work. School is different. But do you work just as hard when the boss is there as when he or she is not there? pretty simple question, not hard to figure out. So when you're on the job, and a lot of on-campus jobs, you don't have to work that hard. A lot of them you have to work hard, but a lot of them, honestly, you don't have to work hard. Being real about it, okay? Yeah, okay. But do you give it your full attention even though, you know, you can get away with some stuff? Another area, and arguably, I would say area number two, it might even be just about the biggest area of integrity, is being honest. And honesty is not just a matter of lying or not. For example, we had our moral thing just tonight, right? Right, Josh and Zane, right? Yeah. So I kind of accidentally picked up Jan's cell phone, and she was, apparently she was looking over the house for it. So I discover it at the end of our Bible study. I'm like, okay, so I could just put it on the table. I could do that. And then she'll find it. Oh, there it is. Now, if I was really tricky, I'd put it somewhere it would be hard to find because she probably already checked on the table. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Have you ever had thoughts like this go through your mind?
Yes.
Okay, thank you for being honest. But what does a person of integrity do? They go up to your wife and say, Jan, I'm sorry I picked up your phone. Knowing that she's going to be annoyed with me for having done that, even though it wasn't really my fault, it was an accident. Do you ever provide only part of the relevant information? See, if you only give part of the relevant information, that doesn't mean you're lying, but it means you don't have integrity. All the relevant, when you're getting advice, give them all the information. Do you put a spin on the truth? Now, all of us are tempted to do that, but a person of integrity, they put it out there. Do you shade or put a spin on the truth to favor your desired outcome? Our moral character, there you go. Because a lot of us, maybe we don't want to sin, but we want to get as close to the border between sin and not sin as possible without crossing it. Who knows? You may either cross it or not cross it. If you're a Christian, you're forgiven either way, right? If you're a Christian, right? If we walk in the light and see in the light, we have fellowship with another, and the blood purifies us from
all sin,
okay? So whether you almost cross the line or you actually cross the line, there's not a whole heck of a lot of difference if you're a Christian. So my question is, why would you try to get close to the line? A person of integrity, they stay away from those gray areas. They just stay away from those gray areas. They stay as far from sin as possible within reason. Do you allow yourself to get into situations where you might just expect that you might end up sinning? Or do you stay away from those things? Okay? Another area I think of integrity is being consistent. And arguably, this is almost the definition of integrity, is being consistent. You could debate that, but it's almost the definition of integrity. Again, are you the same person at home, at church, in class, at work, in your business dealings? Very, very tempting in our business dealings to kind of, you know? Imagine if you're... Yeah, imagine trying to be a car salesman and be a Christian. That's a pretty tough thing. It's a pretty tough thing. And scientists, when you write your papers, do you forget to mention the experiments that failed? Yeah, integrity, that happens in engineering. It happens in accounting. It happens in psychology, teachers. If there was a situation that happened in your class, do you put it in the little report that you're supposed to turn in? Yeah, when you tell people you're going to do something, can they assume that they don't even have to check up on you? You said you're going to do it. All right, well, that's a done deal. Are you the kind of person they have to check in 3 times? Hey, how's it going? Hey, how's it going? If somebody's constantly checking in on you, hey, how's it going? Maybe it's because they're a nagger, but more likely it's because they know that you're not a person of integrity. Now, let's look at a couple of, by the way, we're going to have discussion groups. If there's ever a class, we have to have discussion groups. But let me look at a couple of biblical figures who had integrity. Okay, so we could start with Joseph, but we're not. I'm going to go to Job chapter 2. Job. He did a great job. Thank you for laughing, Jim. Thank you. I needed that. Basically, his friend said, you have too much integrity. His wife said to him, Job, you have way too much integrity. Because integrity demands that you act foolishly sometimes. Not in your own best interest sometimes. Right? Yes. Job chapter 2, verse 3. God asked Satan, hey, what have you been up to, man? He says, I've been roaming around the earth looking for some people who have integrity to try to trip them up. Try to prove that they don't have real integrity. They're just trying to manipulate you, God. They're doing the right thing so they don't go to hell. They're not doing it because they love you. Come on. Everybody knows nobody has real integrity. Then the Lord said to Satan, have you considered my servant Job? There is no one on earth like him. Wow, okay. Blameless and upright, a man who fears God and shuns evil. And he still maintains his integrity, though you incited me against him to ruin him without any reason. You know, you find out if you have integrity when stuff goes lousy. You know? When you put your application in and they lose all your paperwork. All right? Or when a whole group of people does something and you get caught up into that and you get blamed for something you didn't do. You find out if you have integrity when stuff starts happening. And, you know, Job's wife said to him, curse God and die, right? Thanks a lot. Look at that. Job 2 verse 9. And this is what your worldly friends and even, honestly, even some of your Christian friends are going to say something like this. If you're around long enough. His wife said to him, are you still maintaining your integrity? Curse God and die. And I've had Christian friends tell me there's certain sacrifices I was making for the sake of the kingdom. And they told me, don't do it. Don't do it. And these are people I respect spiritually. They said, don't do it. And who knows? Maybe they were right. Maybe what I was doing in that case was foolish. I don't know. Right, Nehemiah 7. Now we're going to look at a person who had integrity, and this is a person you never heard of before. In fact, all we know about this person, essentially, is that they had integrity. Nehemiah 7, verse 3. We're going to look at a hero. Right before Ezra, right? No, it's right after. Ezra and Nehemiah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Nehemiah 7. Oh, look, this is cool. So, basically, Nehemiah, he needs to delegate some very important work. And you know what? The best person to put on any job is a person with integrity. Because if somebody has integrity, you give them instructions, you go away, you come back, and you know pretty much what's going to happen. So I'll start in verse 2. I put in charge of Jerusalem my brother Hanani, along with Hananiah. Funny, Hanani and Hananiah, okay. The commander of the citadel, because he was a man of integrity and feared God more than most people do. There's a strong, you see it on the screen? There's a strong connection between integrity and fear of God. And the thing you have to ask yourself if you want to be a person of integrity is, who do you fear? Who do you fear? Because Hananiah, he feared God. And if you fear God, you're going to be a person of integrity. All right? So that's something to think about. Do you fear God? You know, I think most of you are aware fearing God is not like living in abject terror at every moment. It's respecting God and putting him in the right place as he's the head honcho and you're going to be judged by him and by nobody else. He feared God. If you want to have somebody that you want to have integrity, find out if they really actually fear God. But my favorite example, thank you very much. You gave it away. It's Daniel chapter 6. We were talking about this earlier, weren't we? Yeah. Daniel 6. Yeah, that's a good point, because we're going to look at Daniel 6. But honestly, in Daniel 1, as a teenager, Daniel refused to give up his integrity. Read Daniel. We're not going to do that tonight, because otherwise we won't have time to do our discussion groups. All right, but Daniel started out with great integrity, and he finished with great integrity. And I'll tell you right now, he had more integrity at the end of his life than he had at the beginning of his life. Because, you know, look at that. Remember that integral from the calculus? He had that little step things, right? The calculus people. And then he smoothed off. The delta x got smaller and smaller and smaller. It's for you math people. Okay, Daniel 6. Okay. So, what happens is Cyrus comes in and he defeats the Babylonians, and that guy Belshazzar, he gets killed. And so Cyrus appoints Darius over the province of Babylon, and Darius is looking for some people to oversee the tax collection situation. And if there is any place in human activity that tends to lead to corruption, it's anything related to collecting taxes, especially back then. Now you leave a paper trail, you know. It's a little harder to cheat on your taxes than it used to be, but back then, it was super easy to cheat on your taxes. Besides, what if the person you put in charge of the tax collection didn't have integrity?
Yeah.
Well, we all know what happens. That person gets rich.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, I'll write you down, you know, 100 denarii. Slip me 10. You make 90, I get 10. We're good to go. Yeah. So Daniel 6. It pleased Darius to appoint 120 satraps to rule throughout the kingdom, with three administrators over them, one of whom was Daniel. The satraps were made accountable to them so that the king might not suffer loss. Now Daniel so distinguished himself among the administrators and the satraps by his exceptional qualities, by his integrity, as you'll see, that his fellow workers said, I need to have integrity like Daniel. I need to change my life. Nope. At this, the administrators and the satraps tried to find grounds for charges against Daniel in his conduct of government affairs, but they were unable to do so. And I hope that would be you. I hope if they go after you, there'd be nothing on you. Now, what they're going to do is they're going to make something up. You can't help that. All right, they could find no corruption. I'm in verse 4. They could find no corruption in him because he was trustworthy and neither corrupt nor negligent. There's the definition of integrity. Neither corrupt nor negligent. Right? That's that work ethic and that honesty. Finally, they said, we'll never find any basis for charges against this Daniel unless it has something to do with the law of God. In other words, hopefully the only way they can get you is by using your Christianity against you. And you know what? If they use your Christianity against you, amen, praise the Lord. If you get fired because of your Christianity, amen, praise the Lord. Wouldn't that be awesome? Wouldn't it be awesome to get kicked off the bus because you did the right thing? Wouldn't it be awesome to get an F in that class because you spoke the truth? Wouldn't that be awesome?
Yeah.
A man of integrity says, yes. Yes. So look at this Daniel. He was not corrupt. He was not dishonest. What he said he would do, he always did. He could not be bribed. You can't bribe a person of integrity. If you try to bribe a person of integrity, they'll laugh at you. And he couldn't be influenced in a corrupt way. I wash your hands, you wash my hand. I take care of you, you take care of me. The answer is, I take care of the boss. That's who I take care of. That's the only person I'm taking care of. All right? So I help you out, you help me out, I wash your hands, you wash mine. The person of integrity says, it doesn't work that way. No. And not negligent. All right? He worked just as hard when his boss was watching him as he was looking over his shoulder. And when his boss left, he did exactly the same thing when he was alone. And my question is that the way you are? Or when there's nobody around, you just take big long naps and you spend hours playing computer games, whatever. The Christians walk by. By the way, that actually happened to me today. I was... It wasn't even a sin. It wasn't a sin at all. So I was sitting down there. I was feeling a little lazy. Wanted to indulge, but I was working. I worked hard today. So I was spending a few minutes reading a book, and Jan walked out. I closed the book. It's like, why did I do that? I mean, you know, but I did it.
Yeah.
I'm just telling you, that happened today. You know, if you're going to do a class on integrity, you know what's going to happen. You're going to be, so I'm telling you, I'm just, it's nothing wrong with reading a book, although I, because my job, I don't have hours. I just work all the time. You can't literally work all the time,
no.
Right? So I'm not worried. I'm reading a book. Jan walks out. I close the book. That is not integrity. Folks, that is not integrity. Okay? So you're hearing a lesson by a person who is still has a long way to go in integrity. Amen. Daniel never did that. Right? And they said, anybody who prays for the next 30 days, you know, they're going to be thrown into the lion's den. And a person, a normal person, what they would do is they'd continue praying, but they'd shut their window, right? Mm-hmm. But Daniel said, I ain't shutting my window. Before they said the decree, I prayed with my window open. They made the decree, and I'm going to pray with my window open. That's what Daniel did. All right, almost done. We're going to go into our groups pretty soon. Oops, that's not working. I have to figure out why. Probably the battery's dead, right? Most likely. Oh, you know how you find out? Yeah, you push the... Yeah, battery's dead. Yeah. Ooh. Ah!
Yeah!
Magic! All right, so let's go to Deuteronomy... I'm sorry, let's go to Proverbs 31. And I don't have time to do the whole thing, but you know what? I was thinking, who in the Bible had great integrity? It's that woman of noble, right? That wife, you know that famous thing in Proverbs. This wife of noble character really was a person of noble character. All right, I don't have time to read the whole thing, but it starts in Proverbs 31, verse 10. Right? The wife of noble character. How about the human being of integrity? Right? I'm not going to read it. I'll just do some highlights. In verse 11, it says, her husband can have full confidence in her. Right? He could leave for a month and he could come back and he knows that things are going to go well. If your roommate left for a month, you know, what's the house going to be like when they get back? Okay. If your professor, you know, didn't show up for a few weeks, would you just stop doing the assignments? I remember when I was in eighth grade, I was reading A Farewell to Arms. I was in eighth grade. I was reading it just because I was reading Ernest Hemingway in eighth grade. And you know what? Interesting coincidence. Is our teacher assigned the book A Farewell to Arms. Just a coincidence. So you know what I did? I stopped reading the book and I got Cliff Notes.
Wow.
That's an eighth grader, so that's kind of a silly example. But that's not integrity, that's for sure. The person of noble character, her husband can have full confidence. Can people have full confidence in you? If they give you a job, can they assume job done? Verse 15, it says she gets up while it's still nighttime. And then in verse 18, it says her lamp does not go out at night. And in verse 27, it says she does not eat the bread of idleness. By the way, resting and relaxing and having fun does not mean you're an idle person. It does not mean that. You need to rest. You need to have fun. You need to just chill out. But a person of integrity does that with intentionality. They say, you know what? I think I need a couple hours, so I'm going to take a couple hours. And you know what they do? They take a couple hours. It's okay. So I don't think this wife of noble character ever stopped working. I mean, never stopped. I'm sure she stopped working. You know, I want to use my wife. She never wants me to use examples of her getting up at 4 a.m. to make dinner for you guys and stuff like that. I'm telling you. If you knew Jan, oh my goodness, she has integrity. Verse 27, she sets about her work vigorously. When she's working, she's working. And I say when you're resting, you need to rest intensely. And when you're having fun, have fun intensely. A person of integrity does everything intensely. That's just the way they live. Verse 20, she opens her arm to the poor. A person who does not take care of the poor and the needy, I don't care what else they do not have integrity. Not biblically. Verse 25, she can laugh at the days to come. Why can she laugh at the days to come? Because she makes plans. She plans her college curriculum for the next 4 years. And she studies the college catalog. And she doesn't necessarily trust the advisor. And she calls the school she's going to transfer to. And she finds out she has a plan and she sticks to the plan. But she's willing to change the plan if circumstances change. All right. The reason she could laugh at the future is because she's thought through the implications of what might happen and she's prepared for it. She has integrity. She makes short-term plans, medium-term plans, and long-term plans. And last but not least, verse 30, charm is deceptive and beauty is fleeting, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. So that's our lesson on integrity. And now that my clicker has integrity, I can now use it. So we're going to get in discussion groups of 3 or 4. Please, you don't have to, but I think you should. We're going to discuss number 1, what does integrity mean for you as a student or as a worker? Let's define integrity in the context of being a student or a worker. Number 2, what does integrity mean to you as a disciple of Jesus Christ, assuming you are one or want to be one? And then number 3, we better get to this. What area or areas of integrity do you want to shore up in your own life? So go through these in whatever order you want. So let's get in groups of 3 or 4 and let's talk about integrity. One, 2, 3, 4. We got 4 groups. And I see one group with only 3, so I'm going to jump into that group. Hey. Thanks. Who's going first? We should have somebody besides me lead this group. Want to lead this group?
Yeah, sure.
All right.
For the first one, what does integrity mean for you as a student or as a worker at your job? I think for me, it's being able to get my job done. Like for me, I think a big thing for me is that I really don't care who gets the credit as long as the work gets done. Like I have no problem stopping what I'm doing to help one of my coworkers like finish their quota, because I know I can finish mine, and if I know my coworker's struggling, I'll be like, okay, I'll jump in, help him out.
And then, that's it.
Well, let's just do the first one.
So for that job, we're usually just alone, so it's like pretty much dependent on us how much we do if we're actually working or not.
The truck cleaning thing?
It's super dependent on us how much we do. And, you know, it's me and the older guy, and we're usually the ones doing all the work. And like the other two kids, they're usually like, you know, just chilling in the truck. Yeah. So we're just, you know, we just do the work, and it's kind of just that, it's like that idea of like not working anymore.
So it's like
taking advantage of somebody's trust like that. So it just doesn't sit right with me. And then as a student, I guess
that's a really big one. Sometimes you have like
the only thing I can think of as a student is maybe like
I don't really have to go over close to the slides on that courses.
Like cheating on
I guess for me as a student, this would be like going to lectures with a purpose, not just going there and just sitting there being on your phone, but actually taking notes and absorbing the material. And kind of adding on to what Kevin said about not cheating on your homework. Like now it's so easy to because all the access to AI and resources online, like ChatGPT or other resources. So not using those and making sure you learn the material for yourself is a big part of having integrity as a student.
I use ChatGPT, but let me explain. I use it because sometimes things aren't clear. So sometimes you actually need some clarification. So I think it's good.
Just ask your instructor if it's okay. If he says it's okay, then do it.
Yeah, I think some, like, especially for really bad. I think Daisy went to one of my classes. You went to that one too. It's like, sometimes the professors are just like, sometimes it's just hard to understand what they're trying to say. So it's like, you kind of need some outside things in the system. I mean, sometimes, like, you know, you don't really know how people are.
Right.
YouTube University.
For me, integrity at the job, it's a little bit harder to define, but it means like when I'm going to be giving a lesson, it means that I actually know what I'm talking about, and I don't just fake it. I don't go in there and just start, because I've been around long enough. I could go and just read the scripture, and I could, but no, I need to know what I'm talking about. Another thing is, the range of my work is all over the place. I teach classes I help run teaching programs in Haiti, and I, you know, teach classes for people in Brazil. Trying to fit all that together in the right balance with taking care of the needs here locally and all that kind of stuff. Integrity means thinking about what comes first and all that, and then living it out that way. Okay, boss?
What does your integrity mean to you as a
disciple?
For me, it means like how firm I stand on my faith. I feel like sometimes, especially at work, I work with a lot of like, how do I say it? Just secular dudes, you know? They talk about stuff that I shouldn't be involved in. As I'm saying, I'm kind of trying to like course me, get me into conversations. Or like, I have this really cool friend. He's so cool, but he's always trying to get me to smoke with him and a lot of other guys. And it's like, yeah, that's not something I would involve myself in. And I think as a disciple, it just means
one conviction I have is like when I'm not going to understand the issues in the gamble, but even though it's not necessarily the same for your role, but my family, we have a history of
because there's another guy who's worked a million years.
I don't need
we'll come back to you.
I think for me, I think you hit it on the nail. I think when you said
kind of being transparent and uniform throughout, like, with the people that you're around, whether it's your fellow, like, Christians, whether it's your parents, professors, your friends, your buddies. And I think that's something that I've been, like, trying to work on the most, especially with
also, like,
my friends at soccer. Sometimes they're very worldly. Sometimes
it's not only, like,
but I mean, some other times, I'm just, you know,
because a lot of times, like,
yeah.
So, at least in my life, when
but
I'm
I think
like
that, especially with
them, they kind of make me like question, how can I learn from one of them?
But I think,
what needs to be fixed in my life.
For that question, I think you hit it on the nail, like, kind of just being uniform throughout. Stop being kind of two-sided or fit in with something else. Mm-hmm. Kind of just be yourself. Like, if you fit in, you fit in. Then,
I mean, I agree with that. Like, just making yourself open to friends, showing that, hey, I am a Christian, and you may do those things, but I'm not involved in them. And then just not even just rejecting those things, but also maybe trying to talk to them or persuade them or show them that this is the life you live and that you care about them. And just wishing the best for them, even if they do things you don't agree with.
Mm-hmm. I like that. Just if you have integrity, people are going to know right away that you are in fact a Christian, so that, yeah. That way you're kind of held accountable even by the worldly people.
Yeah, literally. Tucker, yesterday they were like, don't you know Bible don't you read through? I was like, yeah, so I was like, just
yeah. For
like,
me,
they were like, you're gonna be late.
Integrity as a disciple, it means being honest and open about the mistakes I make, the foolish things I do, the things I said I shouldn't say, the thoughts I have I shouldn't have. And it's pretty easy. People kind of, I don't know, it's weird, but I guess people sort of look up to me in a way. And so it's very easy, therefore, to not want to sort of mess up that picture by being honest about silly things. That's why I try to be open even in a lesson like this. Yeah.
Oh, 39. What areas are areas of integrity do you want to shore up?
Can you give some examples of like the areas of integrity? What do you mean by areas of integrity?
You know, like for you, if you're messing up when your boss is not around on Saturday, is, yeah.
So like work, personal life.
Yeah, I don't think any of us have perfect integrity, right?
Like specific examples.
Like maybe when you're hanging out with your family, you're kind of lazy around your family, or maybe at home with your roommates, you don't take. Do your part to keep the. I don't know. It's gonna be anything.
I think for me, it would definitely be my time alone. I think sometimes I can get lazy. I feel like, dude, I just don't want to be lazy. I think I have to stay consistent. Stay working towards a purpose, but not just being idle, like how you're saying. I think for me, that's the biggest one.
I think for me, it's probably being on time. probably being on time. You know, kind of how you said, like, I live an hour and 15 away, so maybe I could, like, wake up, like, an hour earlier. You know, to do stuff, things that I need to do, just to, like, be there on time. Even though sometimes I may have a good reason or not.
When we were in Wisconsin, Jan and I lived about an hour and 50 minutes from church. And we were like never late. It's the people that live 5 minutes from the building that ended up being late. Cause I always calculated in an extra 10 minutes. I always did. So yeah, that's true. See you later, Gabriel. Alright, Ed, you're next. I'm sorry.
I guess for me, like a lot of times, like all procrastinated or push the deadline. So right before they're due, to start working on it. So just managing my time more and making sure that I have a plan to complete my work and knowing what I have to do in order to get the work done.
Yeah, for me, when I make mistakes, just not trying to smooth it over. Like there'll be an appointment and somebody will say, yeah, well, this happened. Right, but the fact is I blew it off anyway, so, you know, just making sure that when I'm making mistakes that I just put it out there that I made a mistake here. Yeah, that's what I think of anyway. Been working on integrity for a while, but I got a ways to go still. Yeah, that whole thing where Jan comes down and I close my book is like, it's a lack of integrity. It's a small thing, but it's a lack of integrity.
Did you even like notice that you did it? Or did you
not? Yes, I did. Of course I did. How would you not notice it?
No, but like, did you have like the thought it went like low? Or did you just, it was like,
I don't want to catch me reading a book when I should be. She wouldn't care. It's a lack of integrity. What can I say? Maybe you never did that. Okay, good for you. You have more integrity in that area than I do. You don't have a wife who you have to worry about, you know, or your kids. Parents can, the kid walks in and whoop, and suddenly. Some novel. You know, it's a novel originally in Swedish about this girl. It's known as The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo. Maybe you've heard of that movie.
The Dragon Tattoo?
Yep, it's a famous book. The movie was made, there's a Swedish version of it, and there's an American version of it. Anyway, this is a novel. I read it all the time. I'm always reading. It's okay to read. It's good to read, actually. I'm always reading. It's part of my integrity. The way I exercise is part of my integrity also. I want to be consistent. Making decisions, sticking to it. Everything. It's all part of your integrity. Some you could say are more important than others, but in one sense they're all the same. Right? So we had a study today, Lane and Josh and I. Do the next one hopefully Sunday. And then speaking of my weaknesses, I get spacey. So I've got a study tomorrow at 4:30 with Davion and Michael. And I have another one, but I think it's at 2:00, but I'm not sure. And I think it's with Josue and Juan. Gotta find out. I was hoping Juan would be here tonight. So, we did our assignment. So now we can talk about soccer if you want.
Well, I just had a midterm. I'm like tired.
How'd it go?
I have no idea. It's like open the air. Like, I either did good or I did really bad.
Those are the only two options.
Yeah. Well, you could be like, oh, like I did okay, like I did the middle, like at least. That's how I felt about my retirement. Like, oh, I like at least a B and up.
Did he get a B and up?
This one? A C and up.
Oh, okay.
It's because there was so much material to cover, and I was like, what do I focus on?
Yep.
But, I mean, it just depends. Usually, like, the multiple choice was a 50-50.